Freedom Oka 不信吹き飛ばす急これ違うレスピン Messy Over ファールは邪魔するマサ飛ばしセンサー滑り調子コンパイ Freeze これ Have some I can't walking on the
It is a wonderful my life. Please could you kiss my name? When the music's over, turn off light. It was such a sweet time. Could you pray for me, my friend? It's darling over time. Taking over my, taking over blue time. You had a screaming shout in your mind. Taking over shine, taking over shooting star. Oh, I was talking about what's me.
Hello, you're listening to the Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
And today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So how was the week, Chris? Anything exciting in your last week? In your last week. That sounded so dark. This is your last and final week. It's over now.
Other than Diona and accidentally getting child? No, not really.
That deserves some kind of explanation for those who don't know what that's from. I got a child.
I got a child. From Genshin Impact.
Yes, Genshin Impact released their recent 1.1 update that fixed the entire game.
Seems like it. Suddenly I've got tons of stuff everywhere that I've already cleared several times, which that seemed kind of odd.
I like the new resin stuff. The condensed resin is, like, really cool. Of course, I did just go through all of my saved up resin things just to, because I just finally hit 45, so now I'm starting to farm for artifacts. And so I finally started doing co-op, and that's been an interesting ordeal. I didn't have too much problems. Like I said, I was only like one co-op group that I went with where it got really toxic really quick because they were fighting for some, and this is one of the things where it's like, make the co-op better. Mm-hmm. like I should be able to, he should be able to go to my world, even though I'm now at world 6, he should be able to come to my world. Like, I should be able to rank it down for him and he just hang out in my world. I don't know why it should lock each other out, but anyways. And there should be things to do in somebody else's world, like have special co-op chests that pop up when you enter somebody's world, and you can actually open those, or give extra bonuses for helping them do bosses or something. Like, if I kill a boss for him, maybe I get one experience book, something. Just give me something. 20 mora, something. Rather than I do it for Chris because it's just fun to kind of go in his world and overpower bosses, and it's kind of fun just to hang out and do stuff in the game, but, like, there's no reason for me to go to some random person's world. And I know the only reason that other people are asking to come to my world that are completely random is because they want to steal my crap, which, come on, that should not be a thing. That, like, it literally de-incentivizes the idea of co-op. Like, every time I see a random person pop on the top of my thing, I don't think, cool, let's hang out. I'm just a random person. Let's hang out and talk. No, it's, he's obviously coming to steal my crap. There's no other reason why he'd want to come here.
Yeah.
And that's just really crummy that there's no reason to co-op. And the co-op only offers griefing, essentially. That's all it's offering is griefing. Even when I do co-op at the domains, it has you do it outside. And I'm constantly watching people, like, figuring out, are they leaving here to go steal my crap as I'm trying to wait for other people to come? Because they can. They can run over and start stealing stuff. And with timers, that's a concern, which is just, again, de-incentivizing. But yeah, it's been a fun patch, but I think that's more because I just hit 45 and I'm starting to do artifact grinding, which is like gotcha hell all over again, because technically you're spinning resin, going in and wasting your time to get a possibility of a good drop. And then when you do get a good drop, you then have to roll on leveling it up, which wastes mora and everything else that you have to wait, the resources of other artifacts to waste in order to raise them. And you get nothing but defense and HP boosts. Because obviously, there is no doubt in my mind that defense and HP is overly weighed on the stats increasing when they level. It's just no doubt. Like, I haven't wrote it down, but I'm sure somebody has already done it where you can check every time you raise a certain stat, it will weigh to HP and defense. There's no doubt. Which is frustrating because you'll get, like, a piece of gear that has, like, crit damage, elemental, and then defense, and defense is the only thing that'll raise up.
It's hard to explain what Andrew's talking about, because my automatic inclination, if I'm thinking of it from an outsider's perspective, I would automatically go, well, it doesn't an MMO do the exact same thing? Yes, technically. The difference is, in this situation, is you only have a finite amount of times that you can do this.
Yeah,
it's limited. It's not a matter of, okay, once a week you go into a dungeon in a raid where you have a group of people who are preordained as your team, and you're going against a boss, and you down that boss, and one person gets an item. It's not quite the same, because you are literally going up to this tree in this particular dungeon. A petrified tree, and then you're using the condensed resin, which you only have...
Did you say resin?
Resin.
I've only heard it say resin, so it's like...
It's raisin.
Raisins. You use your raisins on it.
But you have only a finite amount of that. You get roughly about 160 per day. You know, a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on the moon and cycle and everything like that.
You get one resin every 8 minutes.
And the problem is that you only get a finite amount of those. You can't really confirm or convert those to condensed. Those are the fragiles, right?
No, you can, your regular, whatever's in your current bucket of resin is what you turn into condensed resin.
Okay, so you're using that finite amount to make the condensed resin. And after you...
Raisins.
After you make that, then you only have however many of those you can use to do that. Now, take into consideration, you have basically an MMO raid loot table. Now, in that loot table, only one of the things is what you want. Now, yes, you are getting a whole slew of different things, but only one of them has a chance to get to the level that you want it at. Then, on top of that, you're hoping amongst all hopes that, plus the fact that you've already got the, let's say, legendary status item, you get the legendary and then the stats that you want on that legendary. So yes, it's a little bit frustrating because of the fact that how much time you're investing in it.
Yeah, it is literally it's a multi-leveled randomization thing. So it's not only, okay, so you go in the dungeon with the group or you go yourself, you have to fight a bunch of stuff, so that takes time. Then when you beat it, you go over to this tree, you spend this energy resource that you get 1 point of every 8 minutes, and it takes 20 of them. And at that point, you have a random chance of getting the one piece of gear that you need. Because with my level 45, I only get one every time I do the tree. Sometimes, very rare, I've only had maybe twice, I got two items. So you usually get one golden item, which is a 5-star. There's a random chance it'll be the one that you want. Then when you pick it up, there's a random chance that it's going to even have the main stat that you want. Then there's a random chance that it's going to have the substats that you want. And then on top of that, when you level it, like say everything was perfect, like somehow you managed to get your main stat and your substats, then you have a random chance as you're leveling it every four levels that it's going to either increase or add a stat that you want. That's so much randomization to get a possibility of a really good piece of gear. And I've not gotten a gear that I want with the stats that I want yet. And I've gotten probably, I don't know, yesterday I grinded a lot with it. And yeah, I got maybe one that was a pretty good gear, but it wasn't even my main set that I wanted. But I'm getting good enough gear right now that I'm getting all of my set bonuses, so that's fine. And then from here I can spend my daily resin to see if I can get a better piece that I can build on. So It's just a constant. It has its mobile blood in it, which is the idea of giving you something that you're constantly going towards. And I understand that. I just wish it was less frustrating and less limited of your resources. Because now that I've used all my extra thingy-majiggies for extra resin, I don't really have much. Fragile resin, yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, he got childlike, what, your first roll?
First roll.
I've seen everybody rolling, like, either their first 10 or second 10 roll, they were getting child. And, of course, I rolled all the way to pity, which, I don't know, I think I probably rolled 40 to 50. And gold popped. I was telling Chris in a text, I'm like, I was on my lunch break, and I just like, I did my commissions, and then I'm like, I have like 200, no, I think I had literally 160 gems to use on a roll. I'm like, I'll just do a quick one roll. Went gold, and I closed my eyes, and after I heard the chiming noises for the stars and everything, I opened my eyes, and it was Chi-Chi, and I was like, yes! Like, I freaking yelled so loud and scared the fire out of all the dogs, because I had been trying for Chi-Chi for so long. I'm like, you know, screw Child. I don't know. Child is okay. He feels like he plays very weird. And he does a lot of damage. I've seen him do a lot of damage, but the way he plays just seems like it requires too much thinking, I guess. You have to consider, like, if you're going to melee, only attack for so long, switch back out, otherwise you get locked out. It's very weird the way that he plays.
It's funny because I went ahead and dropped money on the second time I've dropped money into this game, and my intention was just to grab Diana.
We're all after Diana, and let's just admit it. Cute little Neko Lolly, we all were after.
That was all I was after, and
he didn't get a Beidou. Like Beidou's on the banner, and I've been wanting him to get a Beidou for forever because I know he's gonna love Beidou if he ever gets Beidou. You're just cursed to never have Beidou.
I didn't want to get overly zealous on my pulls. So I literally, I was after her. I got child first pull, which like I said, that was just absolute fluke because I wasn't up on the pity for a 5-star at all. So I went ahead and just pushed it until I got Diona. If I had gotten a Beidou, I would have been happy, but I was after Diona. And so my intention now is to just go ahead and do my natural Primo Gems as they come in, because that's what I normally do. Is I just, whenever I get 160, I just pop a wish. And that's why you probably hear wishes coming from my room all the time.
Like, dang, you're just rolling the money now.
So that's literally what I do. Anytime I get it, I pop a wish. And because I do like to stay on the single rolls anyway, I don't like doing 10 pulls because I like the constant. That's something that just keeps me playing the game, and I enjoy it. But the funny thing is that when I literally, I don't even think I was at my pity pull for the 10 pull, and I got Diona. And it's like, I probably should have kept rolling, honestly, because I was probably on a good streak. But I don't like pushing my luck at all. I really don't.
Just dump the money and go for it, and you'll get every character. No, I was frustrated the other day because I hate... There's a new fight, of course, a new boss. I'm not sure if I'd want to spoil who it is. I'm sure people know who it is that are playing Genshin, but there's a new boss. And he's actually infuriating to fight. And I just tried to... I did him today just to get my weekly done on him, and I just absolutely hate that fight so much. So many instant death mechanics. And it's frustrating because he's got Jean, and I wanted Jean for the longest time. And then when he finally pulled Jean, he's like, I'm really sorry, man. I got Jean. And I'm like, you know, at this point, I was already giving up on her. So I'm like, I don't care. I've given up on her a long time ago, just like I gave up on Chi-Chi at the time. And I actually helped him through the fight, and I got to play as Jean. I literally almost sold that fight with Jean. And I'm like, gosh, Jean's so awesome. But no, what's sad is that obviously because it's a Neko Lolly, I wanted Diona, but one of the main reasons why I wanted Diona so bad was that she was a healer. She was literally like I wouldn't say she's Chi-Chi. She's no way, shape, or form close to Chi-Chi, but she does have a heel and she has ice, and I've wanted both those aspects. And so I was like, okay, she's going to fit my kit where I wanted Chi-Chi for so long. And so it's sad that I finally got Diana, and then I rolled some more and I got Chi-Chi because I'm like, well, no, I don't need Diana anymore. And they don't synergize well in a party because they're both ice, and ice doesn't really give much besides if you freeze a target, get increased crit. So that was a little bit frustrating. I'm like, well, I'll still use Diana in my second party in Abyss possibly, but Chi-Chi's just too awesome. So it's hard not to use Chi-Chi.
Diana is just too funny. If even if you don't play the game, just go and watch some Diana in action. She is just too funny the way she plays.
Yeah, they animated her really well. I really enjoy it. Now I just need the rock lolly, and then we have a full party of lollies. It's gonna be cool. Mm-hmm. Can't wait. But no, it's been fun. I'm still enjoying the game a lot, and I've had days where I just did like my bare essentials. But that if there's ever a day that I'm just bored, there's plenty to do in there, even though, you know, there's a lot of people that believe there's not much to do in there. It's just all a matter of what you want to do. And so, yeah, it's been a fun game. Besides my frustrations with the randomization of the artifacts and the lack of resin, it's still technically an issue. But I think they've done a lot to improve the game with 1.1, especially like the percentage showing they have now where you can actually see all the quests you've done. The reputation stuff I think will be cool for a little bit. That'll hold us as well. The story stuff's getting better, like just visually with the cutscenes and everything, more epic and grandiose. So it seems like it's constantly taking steps forward. I just think the biggest, like, I would put away my issues with the resin. I would put away my issues with the artifacts because I see them both as a way of slowing your progression purposely because they don't want you to running out of things to do. So I understand why they're there. And yeah, the gacha is terrible. Its rates are terrible. The costs for rolling with those terrible rates
way
sucks.
Too high.
All that stuff is terrible, of course. But they're also all things that either gacha you can just not do, and the other stuff is obviously slowing you down on purpose. If I had one thing I would say they need to fix now, it would be the co-op. Make a reason for co-op. Make it less punishing to bring people to your world and fearing that they're going to steal your resources. If they take your resources when you're in your world, make them respawn when the person leaves. Like if somebody comes to your world and takes an ore and you don't see it and you're not there to pick it up, let it respawn. Like it when somebody hits a ore, it pops out stuff on their screen and on your screen, and you both can pick up those things. So if I don't pick it up when he hits it, make it go back. Like, is that doesn't seem very difficult to me. So I think the co-op system needs to be improved and give people more reasons to co-op. And I think that's one of the biggest issues they have in the game right now. So they have the co-op stuff coming out, I think, in 2 days. We'll see if that stuff's fun. But yeah, and you get a free official, which is never bad. Always good to get more officials.
Yeah, the only thing that I would probably say is, like you were mentioning, I wish these gacha companies, if for lack of a better term, mobile game companies, I really do wish they would realize that they're pushing too hard on the we got to make a lot of money off of this really short term, and realize that there's a goodwill play in there. And yes, there's we love the characters, obviously. I mean, that's why we point out this character or that character, and this is my favorite character, or that's his favorite character. So you do have that inherent goodwill there, but there's also the aspect of if you just drain your customer of their money, which is kind of the point, I almost want to say hide it a little bit better, but it's so blatantly obvious when you're talking about, you can go on and look at some of these where some of these people, this is my $1,000 pool. I mean, okay. Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, literally, especially if you get a kid in there, and that's one of the reasons why these companies get such a bad rap is some kid will ask mom, hey, can I get this? Oh, sure, honey. And then $5,000, Bill later, she's like, what the heck just happened here? This is the crap that causes the bad rap that these companies have. Just tone it down a smidge. I mean, you really, it's people are gonna pull, especially like you've got the whole weapon system in there that's just absolutely absurd anyway. I mean, at least make it a little bit easier on the characters.
Yeah, I would prefer if the weapons were on a different banner and that resource was actually farmable, because it literally, weapon banner just to say on the top, this is for whales. That literally is all the only people that should be even touching that banner. Anybody that's just a free to play player should not be touching those banners.
I've always, or
even dolphins. I don't even think it should be touched. I don't touch them.
I've always looked at if you're going to monetize something like this, it should absolutely be things that are cosmetic. I stand by that absolutely. I have no problems if you want the most super. I mean, that's why I didn't really pitch a fit about Fairy Tales cosmetic items on that game or any of the Atelier series. I have no problems if you want to monetize the cosmetics. I'm all for it, but if you're making me pay for characters in particular does kind of bother me. Pay to win stuff like purchase this super awesome
Diluc
god weapon. Yeah,
Diluc.
that does
the most
bug
me. Easy overpowered character, Diluc.
That does bug me. Otherwise, I don't really have a problem. The gacha system has always been one that I've been a little bit mixed on, mostly because technically you're paying for a win in a you're gambling for something. The problem is that in a lot of cases, like Andrew wanting Chi-Chi, he didn't want it for a cosmetic reason. Yes, the ice lolly, I'm sure Andrew would loved the
ice
idea of
zombie
the ice
lolly.
Yeah, but the main reason he wanted it was for her healing ability, which perfect, everybody
perfect. Yeah, perfect kit fit basically.
And so she's highly sought after on anybody who's talking about it. So it's kind of one of those weird things. I would have liked her mostly because she would fit into my group of my team of lollies, but that's outside of the realm of her. Yes, she is pretty awesome looking as far as I can tell, but that's outside of that. So it's weird. Gacha systems, I'm always mixed on. I like them and I hate them at the same time. Most of the reason I hate them is because I think that people are these companies are charging too much for the gacha.
Yeah, and I think. And it's funny because as much as it frustrates me with the rates versus the actual unit, it is nice to know that it actually has a pity system. The frustration, of course, from that point is that it's not a pity system that guarantees. Like, there is a really good chance that if you roll on a character banner that has a character, five-star character like Child or Klee or Venti before that, if you roll 90 times, you are going to get a 5-star. I like that any banner you go to, that you're going to get a 5-star if you roll 90 rolls. Of course, you can get it before. Then there's been people that have reported that technically when you get to about the 70s, it has a really higher chance, like the rate boosts up. But with the character banners, there's only a 50% chance you're going to get them. You can get something else. So I do like that there's a guarantee there. Coming from playing Fate Grand Order, where you literally can go 1,000 pulls and never get anything that even close to a 5-star. So that is at least a great thing about their system, but it still is a lot just to pull. So, yeah. Yeah, still enjoying it. Still spending way too much time in it. Looking forward to more stuff. And then apparently have housing coming too. Have you looked at anything about the housing?
I only heard a rumor of it.
Just a rumor. And rumors are bad with this game.
Yeah.
Stay away from the leaks and rumors. I took everything with a gigantic... I even stopped looking at videos that say leak this. Because it's just... Yeah, sure, okay. Whatever. Moving on to the next video. It's been ripe with really bad stuff. So... Anyway, that's Genshin... Otaku Spirit Talk. Thank you all for watching or listening, and we hope you all enjoyed. Y'all take care. Other thing I really want to discuss before we get into the news, I was actually putting it later in the podcast, but I guess we can talk about it here before I forget. Usually every year around the December timeframe, we have changes in our schedule, and we try to work around typically vacation. Usually every single year around December, I would take a trip out to California, and we would like pre-record stuff so that we don't really have any gaps in content. And then we would have our idea of what we're going to get into right when we get back, usually deliberations, for the entire year. This year's going to be a little different. And I want to be really straight and forward with everybody, very transparent with everybody with what's going on. I have decided to move to California, so it's going to be a little different. I don't know. I honestly, to be completely honest, I don't know what is really going to transpire when that happens, because the issue that we're going to face when I get to California is that, well, Chris is staying here, so obviously he's not going with me. The issue I'm really going to face down there is that, the place I'm staying at, they have crappy internet. So I don't really know how well, a recording is going to go. I don't know how busy I'm going to be when I get there. I don't even technically have a room that's 100% set up. So I'm going to actually have to do a lot of work when I get there. So yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen in the coming weeks. It's going to start, I'm moving the first week of December, and I figure when I get down there, like I said, I'm going to probably spend a couple weeks doing a lot of renovations and helping and getting moved and everything like that, getting settled. I don't know how busy I'm going to be when I first get there, because I am going to help with some renovations, and I'm going to have to be looking for a job. I don't have a job yet because I'm that irresponsible. It's my midlife crisis. Let me do what I want. I've also actually considered the idea of possibly trying content creation and doing a lot of work to see if we can build a YouTube channel. There's so many things that I have in my head that I don't really know what we're going to do. Are we going to have, I imagine I'm going to leave probably a setup for Chris to record. Are we going to have him record on this end, record his audio, us discuss through Discord, and then he send me what he has recorded, and then we splice it together to make a podcast. I honestly don't really know. And that's, like I said, I'm trying to be as transparent as possible, because we do have people that do support us on Patreon. So yeah, if you do support us on Patreon and that makes you uneasy, by all means, please take yourself off of there. That's perfectly fine. Whoever has been supporting us for this long, we do appreciate. I just don't want people to think that they're getting something that they're technically may not be getting. We do have a lot of content pre-recorded that even if we don't immediately start recording, you know, actual on the date podcast to post up, I will have stuff that I can edit and post up in the meantime. So I will try to put together a bunch of stuff here soon to kind of fill in the gaps. Just like we did every year whenever I had vacation, we would pre-record stuff to fill in the gaps. And then, like I said, we'll try to keep people updated. I will probably definitely be posting on Twitter to let people know what's going on, but it's going to be a weird month. I had thought about possibly next week, me and Chris get together and record a few things to kind of fill in the gap as well. I'm sure we have tons of questions that we haven't really get to in the discussionals, and I'm sure we can probably just do a mailbag episode just to shoot the crap and answer questions, which is perfectly fine as well. So,
yeah, the YouTube thing had crossed my mind as well. I mean, everybody's practically doing that anymore right now as it is doing the whole Zoom call thing. So I don't see why it's impossible to do the YouTube thing, but that's just one of those things that it's really weird. I mean, we've been doing it for a long time, and I'm not really ready to call it quits. I want to do stuff, but at the same time, life does move, and that's the frustrating thing. And yeah, the idea that you were going to be able to do anything for at least a couple months is just kind of absurd. I mean, I knew that you were going to have to move. And
he hasn't asked me a single question about this, by the way. Like, like literally us talking about it on this podcast is the first time we've actually discussed it. Like, I've been asked a ton of questions by our mom. She's like, well, what do you got to do about that podcast thing you guys do?
She keeps asking me too.
She always calls it something weird. Like, what are you guys going to do about that Otiki thing or something like that?
I'm
like,
thing.
What are you talking about? The recording that you and Chris do. I'm like, oh, well, I haven't really thought about it. I mean, it's well, like you said, it is stressful because I honestly quit my job and didn't even think second about it. Like, oh, I didn't quit. I gave them 3 total weeks in order to train somebody new. I gave them everything they needed. I wasn't stressed out about that. Like, I was perfectly fine with walking away from the job. I know it sounds irresponsible to a lot of people because right now it's a very uncertain time. The uncertain times. I love that phrase that I have absolutely
very
sick
uncertain
of hearing.
Time right now, Andrew.
I'm very sick of hearing that term, but it's a questionable time right now. And yeah, I mean, I could go over there and there'd be no jobs. I see otherwise because there's a lot of openings for my particular position on different services that I've actually looked at. And even if anything fails, I mean, I'll find something to do. I'm a person that will – I'm not going to sit down and not do anything. And that's what I meant about the whole idea of like, yeah, there was a couple of options in my head was like one of the – I don't – again, crappy internet over there. So I doubt I'm going to do live streaming of video content. That's an impossibility, I would assure you. I mean, we've had discussions with our brother over Discord, and his audio just is not great. So add video in with it is not going to turn out very well. But, you know, pre-recording, I do have a camera, and I can pre-record and upload overnight, stuff like that. I have thought of, you know, would we just try to work with what we have, which is, yeah, do pre-recorded stuff and upload on YouTube and build our YouTube channel. I've thought about the fact that do I want to remove all the stuff from our hosting service and put them on YouTube so that it's on YouTube instead of on there. That way, where there's no issues with, you know, because we've had issues here. I've had an increased amount of people that have said that they can't get our podcast through their podcast app. And I'm pretty sure at this point that what that is because we're on a pretty cheap hosting site that does not, you know, account for anywhere from 10 to 20,000 people hitting at the same time. It's just, they don't, it's not for that. So I have thought about just moving all that stuff to YouTube and just killing the hosting and then just having everybody listen to our podcast. I am really curious how many people actually would be fine with it being on YouTube. And like I said, there's just a million possibilities in my head that it's not even funny. Being in California, I'd be more closer to going to Crunchyroll's expos if they have any more ever again. There's a lot more access to things that I have there. But yeah, there's a thought process there of trying to make Otaku Spirit a thing where I would be able to support myself through it.
Maybe I'll go to California to go to one of those expos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of uncertainty, but at the same time, I'm excited for where I'm going personally. Obviously there's a concern about what it means for Otaku Spirit going forward. Like I said, I'm going to do everything I can to keep us having our pre-recorded content up there until something is fully decided. But yeah, I wanted to get everybody in the loop on it. Full transparency. I will post on the our Patreon page so that the people on there that maybe if they didn't catch this yet will know. Because like I said, I want to make sure that everybody is fully aware of it. Like you said, we've been doing this podcast for a long time. Or I mean, we're getting close to 600 episodes, and a pretty good portion of that is weekly. So it was inevitable that eventually something was going to change how we function. My goal is to not make that stop what we do, because I do love our community. I love the people that we've spoken to over the past, the connections it's made for us. I really do appreciate the support that people give us this long. I love anime still. I will always laugh. I mean, that was a thing, like, this week when we were watching a couple of shows. I mean, we're watching, you know, Akudama Drive and several other shows where I was just like, man, this is why I love anime. This is just so much fun to watch this, and I don't really want to give up this. Granted, I think I will be more busy over there. I still love anime, so...
I just hate the fact that effectively, no matter how you look at it, the shows are going to slow down. Because, I mean, between you being busy and I'll be focusing more on my mom, no matter... I mean, I had already decided that for this year anyway, and that kind of didn't work out as much as I wanted it to. But that's going to be more my focus because she's here and Andrew's not, so that's naturally going to happen.
Yeah, I think the only thing that we really lose, even if we do get together and do a podcast on a weekly basis, it is, I do hate the idea that we don't watch shows together. That is going to be really sucky. Because I have enjoyed the times where we're watching a show and we just both get a kick out of something, or we're possibly bored with a particular show that we're trying to give it some kind of credit, and then we just find something stupid to laugh about with it, like the telescope. The telescope that keeps appearing and disappearing in a certain show. In Search of Lost Future, was that what that one was?
I think so.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like I said, I will try to keep people posted. But it's going to be an interesting at least next 4 weeks or so. So. But, yeah. With that said, we should probably jump in the news. That should be important to you. Because it's important, unless you had anything else to add to it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us, because it's important to you. Seven Seas launches a new Airship imprint that focuses on light novels and prose novels. I have never heard of a prose novel until now. Is it a prose or is it prose? Is that French? Français?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay, good. So I'm the only one.
Never heard of such a thing.
Jason DeAngelis also added from Seven Seas that they are slated to have publishing light novels for... They have been posting light novels for at least 14 years now, and their light novel section has actually accounted for nearly 25% of their yearly titles. So they're just kind of finally starting to move to have it on their own label. So, of course, they had Seven Seas, then they recently added Ghost Ship, which was for their kind of rogue type stuff. And then now they have Airship for their specifically light novels. So
maybe it's a horrible translation of peruse.
Maybe.
For your perusal?
No.
You know the word I'm talking about?
Yeah. But no, I don't think that's it.
I know what a prose
novel is now because I actually looked it up, but I've never heard of it before.
I've never heard of it either.
So, yeah, good on them. Expanding their labels to more labels, I guess.
Well, what is it?
It's like a run-on thought process or something like that. Like a series of thought processes in a novel. Prose novel. Form of written or spoken language that usually exhibits a natural flow of speech and grammatical structure. An exception is the narrative device stream of consciousness.
So the way I write.
It's Latin. There you go. I knew it was Latin. It's probably prose then. I don't know. That's not Latin. Anyways, before I embarrass myself more, Attack on Titan manga creator Hajime Isayama has stated that the manga is 1-2% from completion. I literally thought that they have already talked about him writing, like, drawing his last panel, and yet they're not done yet still, apparently. I don't know what to think of this this manga anymore.
I thought he said he was in the last chapters. I don't remember him actually saying he drew the last
panel. Well, no, he was on it was a documentary that they recorded, and when they were recording it, he was in his studio, and they said that he was drawing the last panel. I don't know if it was the last panel of that volume, and maybe everybody misconstrued it. Or he could have just been doing a rough draft, and he's still working on everything between then. Who knows? I know that it was getting pretty crazy with the recent one that I read, so It obviously is getting to the point where it needs to come to a conclusion based on what I've gotten to so far. It definitely seems like a climax of the story. So, yeah, I don't know what to think of that manga anymore. I understand where he's going, but yeah.
I haven't read it since when we last talked about it, so.
Last time when I was asking how far you got because it was a spoiler that I wanted to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we were losing track of time frames.
Yeah, he's aiming to end the manga in 2020, so apparently it's supposed to be done this year. So we'll see. Maybe in the December volume that'll be completed.
I'm sure he wants to move on. He probably was not expecting it to get as big as it did. And sometimes that causes frustrations, I'm sure.
Yeah, which really sucks because it's... I've said this several times before, that the anime adaptation is 100 times better than the manga. And that's mainly because they cut out so much of the fat that he put into it. And I think that's fat that he put into it because they were wanting it to run so long. I don't know. That's just my speculation. I don't know that for sure. But, Kodansha also announced that the manga is set to get a full-color serialization in the magazine, too. So, even when he's done, they will still probably force him to color everything. Mm-hmm. He's like, I thought I was done. I was done. They're like, get the coloring. at least that's one of those things that they'll probably just have somebody else do it. Probably. With him telling them what to do. That's supposed to be red. No, that's green. Okay, good. I can go ahead. I can go to bed now. I can actually get some sleep. So I guess congratulations, Hajime Isayama, on your, hopefully, completion. And hopefully you can move on to other things. We'll see, though. It might turn into Attack on Titan, the new generation or something. You never know.
All right. Well, it's such a weird... concept for Attack on Titan. I mean, it was a brilliant idea, but it was so out of the box. And that's what makes good stories is out of the box thinking. And since he's already proven he can think out of the box, hopefully he can do it again without too much pressure. I think that tends to break people too. So
yeah, and sadly, it's one of those stories where a lot of my interest in that show was the intrigue of it. Like, what is these Titans and where does it come from and how is this triggered and how did this happen to this character? And, but as things like got like the basement thing, it's like, as things got kind of unpacked, you're like, yeah, that's kind of cool, but oh, why are we making this into 50 more volumes? You could have just revealed it and be done with it. Oh, well, that's fine. We'll go with this. We'll go down the path you're going. But like I said, that's why I like the anime so much. So it gets redeemed, at least in the adaptation, and kind of condensed down in a lot of the extremely prevalent walls of text that he manages to create get kind of cut down to size. So yeah. All right. Yep. Moving on, we have Soko Musume Senki TV anime is set to premiere on January 6th, according to DMN Pictures. They have released a new trailer, cast, and a key visual was posted for it. And this looks like another girls in mecha suits, body armor things. What would you call them? What are they called? Just mecha suits? I think there's mecha suits. We'll go with mecha suits.
Body suits?
Body suits, yeah. So yeah. Kind of an offshoot of the Little Battlers Experience franchise. And, yeah, like I said, they're looking to launch in January 6th. So if you're a big fan of the cute girls in mecha outfit body armors fighting bad guys, definitely look forward to that. A lot of CGI in it, though. I'm not sure if I'm too much a fan with how much CGI is in the trailer already. That's usually a bad sign when they're comfortable with showing CGI in the trailer. A kind of interesting bit of news. Sword Art Online Progressive light novel adaptation has been revealed to be a film, not a TV series. Uh-oh. And they're going to be opening it in 2021. They have released a new trailer, which is available on SAO_anime Twitter account that you can check out. Kind of shows a couple scenes, mostly from the perspective of Asuna, which is kind of cool, which I think is supposed to be, part of that whole thing is giving more perspective of her as well. As we kind of mentioned before, it does seem like it is a full kind of retelling of the original Sword Art Online arc, but more focusing on the progression. Rather, you know, the original light novel kind of skipped a lot of floors and just kind of jumped to the end. So, I'm a little bit bummed out that it is a film. We kind of more bummed because that usually means it's going to take longer to get to us over in the West. But at the same time, do keep in mind that usually when they do these movies, they end up kind of splicing them up into TV series as well. So we'll never know. They might actually turn it into a TV series in the end. But, I guess the frustrating thing is it seems like that would be the whole selling point that I felt with the idea of the progressive light novel was that it was more in depth to that progress. And so I thought it was going to be a longer thing. So I don't know if this movie is going to be like a first part of it. It has a subtitle of The Aria of the Night Without Stars. So I'm curious if it's going to be like here, this movie would be, you know, the first 10 floors and then the next movie would be the next floors. I don't know how progressive itself works. I just know that I've told that it actually goes in more details of the progression of the floors. So
it seems odd either way. So
yeah, we'll see.
Though. I mean, I thought it was a floor per book. So, I mean, that would have covered it for what it 80 books at least.
I haven't actually looked to see how many novel or how many volumes the progressive is.
Well, how many floors did they do? Didn't he skip the last 20 floors?
I think so.
Either 70 or 80 that they had gotten to before they met him. So
I think so. Because he kind of messed up the whole situation by figuring out the guy's identity. So it's been a while. It's been a while. Where's Progressive? There's Progressive. They got 6 volumes already. None of them really kind of point out a floor or anything. Just there's kind of titles to them. Yeah, and the first volume is actually Aria, The Starless Night, Without Stars. So that technically means that the movie is titled the first volume. So that might be a sign that it's going to be, again, multiple movies for each of these volumes. So it's not going to be one movie to rush through the entire progressive or anything. So that gives me a little more hope there. Yep. Again, though, hate that it's a movie because it takes longer to get to here. But it is what it is. They feel it. That, and that's the thing. I kind of like the idea that if they think that it fits well inside of a movie, technically it's a good thing rather than trying to drag it out for an entire TV series. So, Square Enix publisher has announced its launch of a new light novel label titled SQEX Novel in Japan. This is specifically Japan, by the way. Specifically Japan. But I know that that does mean quite a few things to the publishing sphere, so keep that in mind. It's really the reason for the going through this. But they have already listed out their first 9 light novels. The first two were previously published by Earth Entertainment, which includes Earthstar Entertainment, which includes Didn't I Say to Make My Abilities Average in the Next Life, Reincarnated as a Dragon's Egg, Let's Aim to Be the Strongest, and the last one is Der Werwolf, The Annals of Veidt. So, apparently those are all being moved over to SQEX Novel. The other ones they got are, these are crazy titles. I was banished from my adventurer party, but I'm happy they left without me. So, oh great holy woman, would it be so bad to be pursued by you? Light novel. I have entered the route of being doted on by the villainous ? Novel. With the all-powerful rural development cheat, I live an easy, slow life. Yes, it's a village. So what? ? Novel. Boredom-hating ceiling user in prison. My occasional roommate is an old man who is the only ceiling user in the world. So to kill time, I became his apprentice. Novel. The party's gopher support member longs to be banished. Banishment is now the current fad, but my party members overestimate my value and won't let me go novel. These stupid titles. When four people who have negative skills gather and their synergy creates the strongest party novel.
Skills gather and make their synergy to create the strongest power. That one sounds fascinating.
The negative powers negate each other and make positive. Oh, that's the worst one, though. Boredom hating ceiling user in prison. In prison, my occasional roommate is an old man who is the only ceiling user in the world. So to kill time, I became his apprentice. Like, I understand why they do it. There's like this whole thing about, you know, making your title really huge so that they stand out in listings. And but we don't need an entire synopsis in the dang thing. There was one show that we were got an adaptation here recently where it was like, it felt like the title being the way it is, which is literally a synopsis of literally the thing, that when that kind of gets either, I guess, no longer relevant to the story, it's like now you have this title that's completely out of the norm for what you're doing, but I forget which one it was. Yeah. Crazy. I guess Square Enix has decided to jump into the novel title competitions, and they're going swinging right off the bat. I don't know why they got this one right here that was only like two lines of text, but you know, they have to get some that are a little bit shorter, I guess. Anyways, interesting stuff. Next we have is The Promised Neverland. The Promised Neverland's second season has now finally gotten a January 7 premiere date, and a new teaser has been released with some, not very much footage, but it's something. There's like two stills in that entire thing that show some scenes from the second season, so we have to take what we can get. So, go searching out there to see if you can find that. But, I'm super excited. I really enjoy the first season and I really cannot wait for the second season. Again, this is one of those other things where when we talk about the whole changes that are going to come here in the next month, these are the kind of things that remind me that I really don't want to get out of anime in the end. It's something that I love, and this is stuff that I'm still super excited about to keep on. So, like the next one, which is Beastars. Beastars' second season also got a announcement trailer, or a debut date trailer. Well, let me correct this. Let me take a step back. Let's start over from the beginning. Beastars' second season got a January 5th premiere date in Japan, and we got an English trailer, which does pretty much mostly just show clips of the first season, but there's a lot in there of the second season, so definitely go check that out if you are okay with some possible spoilers about what's coming up next and you don't mind seeing trailers like that.
Well, that was a spoiler.
So, spoiler for those that haven't watched first seasons or what?
No, for us, things that we were curious about.
Oh, you know that wasn't a thing.
Sure. Well, we wondered about it.
Anyways, the trailer for the English just says 2021. So yeah, don't expect that anybody outside of Japan's getting it on January 5th. Just that's what I want to make sure people know. This is an announcement by Fuji TV for January 5th for Japan, and everybody else is probably going to be waiting probably a couple months from that point to actually get it outside of Japan. So
I would love to know how Rattlesnake is that big.
He's a big boy. Anyways, cool stuff. Let's see. Farewell, My Dear Kramer manga is ending in December. This was announced in the Kodansha's monthly Shonen magazine. And for those who don't remember, Farewell, My Dear Kramer is the manga that was done by Arakawa Naoshi, who, of course, did the Your Lie in April manga. So, for those that are keeping up with that, look forward to the conclusion of that one, I guess. I will stay away from it. Actually, no, I do want to read that one, but we'll see. We'll see if that's something I can get around to. I think somebody has picked it up. Kodansha Comics. Yeah, Kodansha Comics has it, so. Cool stuff. Cool stuff. Bottom tier character, Tomozaki. TV anime reveals a January 8th debut, and they've also revealed a visual with some of the characters from the show. So check that out if you're looking for that. But yeah, if you're looking for that particular show, which we talked about a couple times, look forward to, again, the January premiere on it. If you don't remember, it's about Tomozaki is one of the best gamers in Japan. And his opinion, the game of real life is one of the worst. No clear-cut rules for success, horribly balanced, and nothing makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then he meets a gamer who is just as good as him, and she offers to teach him a few exploits.
What?
She's going to exploit the world.
Hacker.
Bad stuff. Stay away from that stuff. It gets you banned from the world. It's not good. You get thrown in jail.
You don't want to be banned from the world.
You get banned from the world. iDive is set to stream Fragtime anime with both subs and dubs, so our dub listeners can enjoy Fragtime. I always thought this was about, like, a video game. Like, fragging people, like, shooting them, video game. But no, it's the time-stopping Yuri manga centered around a high school student.
Fragments of time, Mizuzu. Andrew.
Yeah, come on. Mizuzu has the power to stop time for 3 minutes a day. One day, she used that power to peek up the skirt of her class. We have actually talked about this one before, so I don't know why I forgot about it already. The beautiful Haruka, but the power, for some reason, did not work for Haruka, and Haruka finds out Mizuzu's secret. That she likes the girl's panties, obviously. Yeah, if you're looking for some Yuri action, check that one out.
Itchy.
I totally forgot that I had a high dive subscription until today, and I was like, okay, I need to unsub that. I haven't actually gone there forever. They haven't really been getting titles these seasons, so I haven't really had a need to go look at theirs. But I guess I can use the sub that they charged me for to go watch Fragtime now, I guess. Should probably do that so I don't think it's a video game show. Media Blasters have announced that they are no longer doing DVD on demand system, that using the DVD on demand system starting 2021. This change was due to drop in sales of DVD format and an increase of incidence of DVDs being reported as inauthentic on the marketplace on certain marketplaces such as Amazon. They will continue to do a limited number of DVD format productions presses. They also said they urge customers to forego buying DVDs if they are concerned about authenticity and assures refunds and exchanges for those who are unhappy with their purchases. They also stated on Twitter they are considering moving to Blu-ray-only productions and getting away from DVDs. So, looks like another DVD seller is moving away from that stuff, which is, I don't know, I am really curious about the DVD format. I know there is a lot of people that are just kind of still kind of prefer that and haven't really moved on to Blu-rays. And I'm curious to see, obviously from this account, we are getting an insight, at least from Media Blasters themselves, that they are seeing a reduction in call for it, or at least sales for it. But I mean, I'm curious if the market for DVDs is kind of moving away. Cause I know Sentai Filmworks, a year or two ago, moved away from it. So it seems like a lot of the companies are kind of stepping away from DVDs, which I would prefer just because I think that it because I don't buy DVDs anymore. And every time I see a show that it only has a DVD, which I think the last time that really happened was Servant X Service. That was the last time I really ran into a show where I'm like, I want this show a lot, and it was only DVD. And I was like, why? Why is this a thing? So I don't really run into it much, but I'm curious if any of our listeners actually still use DVDs. I honestly don't see maybe there's a benefit that somebody, a hardcorist out there, says that there is in DVDs, but I don't see the benefit anymore. That's just me. If anything, I like the Blu-ray SDs if there's no high quality version of the actual show. So, yep. I've had too many issues with DVDs. I guess that's the thing. DVD scratches and stuff. I like the durability of Blu-rays. Anyways, next one we have is Let's Make a Mug 2 TV anime promo. Revealed a April 2021 debut, and this is posted on their official website. If you don't know what this show is, it's going to be about the city of Tajimi, located in the southern part of Gifu Prefecture. Japan is famous for Mino earthenware. The city is doted with historical pottery, producers, and ceramic art museums. It has facilities where you can try your hand at making pottery, and many restaurants that serve food on Minoware dishes. The story begins when a high school girl moves to shopping street in Tajimi. Many encounters await her: friends, townfolk, ceramic art, etc. What will she discover in town famous for ceramic? Probably pot making. So, there you go.
Friendship.
Oh, yeah, that too. Friendship, obvious. Sorry. Friendship and pottery. There you go. Or friendship and pot, I guess, is the other thing. Yeah.
Who said anything about pot?
They're making pots.
Are you? Oh, okay. Pot.
Where's your mind at? Pot.
You're the one who said it. So.
Friendship and pot.
Pot.
You don't say friendships and pots. Friendships and pot.
Okay.
Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro. Anime is going to be debuting in spring 2021. They have released some of the seiyus that are going to be on the show itself. I don't recognize any offhand. Who's going to be... Yeah, I don't recognize any of them. Going to be at Telecom Animation Film. But yeah, actually looking forward to that one. I guess that kind of goes in that same realm as a lot of these, you know... what's her face? Once coming out. Takashi?
Teasing Master Takagi-san.
Oh, Takagi-san. Yeah, that's another one of them, yeah. A lot of these little shows with a cute girl that bugs the hell out of some main character. Be a lot of fun. She looks cute. So, looking forward to that one. I thought it would be a January one, though. I don't know why I was thinking it was a January one, but spring. So, spring it is. David Productions is set to produce Misaki no Maoiga film based on Sachiko Kashiwaba's novel. The English title is The Abandoned House by the Cape. It's going to be debuting in 2021. The story centers around a traditional Japanese house named Maoiga, named after the Japanese folk concept of an abandoned yet well-kept home. From where one can see the sea and feel the touch of the warmth of the nostalgia, here, a 17-year-old girl who is trying to find her place in the world begins a new life with people completely unrelated to her. So, seems like a nice little slice-of-life film that could possibly have some solid storytelling there. We'll see. I've never been the bestest of allies of David Production, and people probably hate me for that, but films usually take the, you know, bring out the best of animators, and... I admittedly have not really watched any JoJo's, so I can't give any comment there. So we'll see. We'll see what they pull off with that one. They apparently have the director that did Nananbiori, Shia Kawasura, which is a huge positive in my opinion, because I think Nananbiori definitely does pull off kind of that, you know, out in the sticks kind of feel of storytelling, so atmosphere and all that kind of stuff. And apparently, Violet Evergarden's Reiko Yoshida is going to be penning the script. So, cool stuff. Cool stuff. Definitely got to keep an eye out for that one. Some sad news in the world of manga. Super HX Arrow is set to enter its final arc with the 11th volume. So, here's to all the big fans of HX Arrows. It's going to come to an end. Apparently, they will be bundling an original Blu-ray anime in with the 11th volume as well, so keep an eye out for that.
I should look that up and see how the art is in that.
Yeah, yeah. The art.
The art.
The art. Mm-hmm. the articles, obviously. The article. You're supposed to see the articles.
No, I'm flat out saying I'm going for the art. Art.
Yeah, the art. We talked about this Shadow House here recently. That was getting a TV adaptation. Apparently, they have announced that the studio that we're working on it is CloverWorks. So keep an eye out for that one. Again, that one is the one about set in a Western-style mansion on a cliff that centers the aristocratic faceless Shadow family. They live together with a lifelike doll attendants who serve as their faces. The story focuses on the daily lives of the house's inhabitants and gradually reveals its mysteries.
So. Got the goth stuff going on.
Yep, 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 yep. Cool stuff, cool stuff, cool stuff. Noitamina! Noitamina's back! Feels like we don't talk about Noitamina anymore.
Well, they're doing the samurai, aren't they?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they're doing the samurai this season.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. But yeah, David, Noitamina revealed a new male gymnast anime that's set to premiere in April 2021. It's an original anime titled Bakuten, which is essentially backflip. Bakuten Rhythmic Gymnastics. The anime is set in Miyagi Prefecture, Iwanuma City, and centers on the high school rhythmic gymnast team. The anime follows Shotaro Futaba, who is fascinated by gymnastics after seeing it in his third year at middle school, and joins the rhythmic gymnastics team of his new high school, Shoshukan High School, named Aohai. He and his friends and with his schoolmate Ryuya, I don't know why I can't say that, Ryuya Misato, who earned fame as a gymnast during middle school. If you're a big fan of gymnastics, I've always enjoyed gymnastics. So that one's kind of a possibly an interesting one for me. I think I've had a couple times where we've discussed the idea of shows that haven't, or sports that haven't been done before, and that was definitely one of them. Of course, I would prefer cute girls doing it instead, but we'll see with the boys. Some of them look like girls, so it's fine, I guess. Big news this week, Discotheque announced they will release Lupin the Third Castle of Cagliostro on 4K Ultra HD. But even the bigger news is that they will also be releasing Kiss X Sis OVA, including all 12 episodes, with JP audio and English subtitles on Blu-ray. So yes, Kiss X Sis will get a release.
In 1080p.
I don't know. Yeah, it is 1080p. You are correct. You are correct. They have confirmed it will be indeed 1080.
No high SD. Definition 1080p.
No SD Blu-ray. No 720. Not 1440. No, we're doing 1080. So, good stuff there. I want to know what their synopsis is. They have Keita is studying hard for high school entrance exams, but his two beautiful elder twin stepsisters are a constant distraction. Though they mean well. Akko and Riko are extremely sexual, assertive, and interested in Keita. At first, he fends them off, but little by little, with each kiss, Keita becomes close to both twins until a forbidden love triangle develops. Will taboo-breaking love bloom between the two of them? Or will Keita at least get into high school?
It's not that bad. It's just etchy.
It's just etchy.
Just etchy.
Extremely etchy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go. Big news. Big, big news. Big, big news. All right. What studios is to animate Sosuke Toka's King Ranking manga? set to premiere on October of 2021. They have released a new visual that is for the actual title. The synopsis they have for it, for the MUD manga, centers around Boji, a deaf, powerless prince who cannot even wield a children's sword. As the firstborn son, he strives hard and dreams of becoming the world's greatest king. However, people mutter about him behind his back as a good-for-nothing prince and say that they know way that he can become king. Boji is able to make his first-ever friend, Keiji, a literal shadow of the ground who somehow understands Boji well. Keiji is a survivor of the Cage Assassin Clan that was wiped out. No longer a killer, Cage, I guess it's Cage, maybe it probably pronounced Keiji in the show.
Kage
now makes ends meet by stealing. The story follows Boji coming of age, and he meets various people in his life, starting with his fateful encounter with Kage. So, there you go.
That sounds like it'll work perfectly for me. That sounds like it's hitting all the buttons for me.
Yeah. Pretty cool. I have no doubt that What Studio is going to pull off a great show. So all the makings of something that could be possibly really good. And that's another Noi Tomina show too. So there you go. Gives him even more credit. So look forward to that one. Very long ways away though, unfortunately. That's a year away. So not anytime soon. We'll be talking about that when we're looking at next year's deliberations. So last big piece of news we have is Sword Art Online Alternative Gun Gale Online manga is set to end in 3 chapters according to the manga creator Tadari Tamori. So if you are a fan of the Gun Gale Online alternative,
they're getting rid of Nell.
Coming to a close. Yeah.
Poor Nell.
There you go. Some quick licenses news we have. J Novel says they have, or has announced they have, Der Wolf, The Annals of Vi, Origins manga. Welcome to Japan, Miss Elf manga. Apothecary Diaries light novel. The Ideal Sponger Life light novel. My Friend's Little Sister Has It In For Me light novel. Are You Okay With a Slightly Older Girlfriend light novel. And She's the Cutest But We're Just Friends light novel.
You're stupid. Sorry.
Kodansha Comics, it's probably one of those ones where she's not really interested in him. Or yeah. She said that she's not interested in him. I don't know. We'll see. Probably a ditherer. Kodansha Comics has announced they have Beauty and the Beast of the Lost Paradise manga, Boys Run the Riot manga, Invincible Reincarnated Ponkutsu, Shangri-La Frontier, The Story of Our Unlikely Love, I Became the Mother of the Great Demon King's 10 Children in Another World, What I Love About You, Nisi Oisin's Pretty Boy Detective Club.
That's an awesome title for...
What?
I guess I just became the mother of Demon King's 10 Children. I guess.
Got like some Pretty Boy and stuff on there too. So it's like this... Kind of reminds me of like Ancient Magus's Bride or something like that, with technically not a beast guy, it actually being a pretty boy. So, yeah. But yeah, Sachi's Monstrous Appetite. And finally, from the author of Ao-chan Can't Study, Rin Kawahara, we're new at this, which, since people are reading, I'm actually going to check it out. What are you reading?
I was reading the
synopsis of I Became the Mother of...
Yes, I'm obsessed about it.
Akari was a typical game-loving 16-year-old girl who lived with her mother until a fateful accident left her at an orphanage. A year later, she makes a fateful wish. A lot of fatefuls in here. A wish on a game cartridge. to be the great mother for a family of her own, only to be swept through the portal into another world. She finds she's been summoned as the priestess from another world, whose role has become the mother to the children of the Demon King himself? With a silhouette there, because it's suddenly out of nowhere. I've seen an Explanation Park ? So
that's awesome. What was the one you were looking at?
The one from the writer of Ao Chung Can't Study, which we really enjoyed. Ao Chung Can't Study, and really enjoyed like the female writer perspective. But yeah, our new one, we're new at this. Ikuma Seiki's finally married his childhood friend and the girl of his dreams, Sumika. But while years of pining came easy to him, physical closeness does not, and he's having trouble navigating the intimacies that come with marriage. Sumika, too, is having trouble bridging the gap between friend and lover. What is this innocent couple to do but navigate it together, awkwardness and all? A new rom-com from the author of Ao Chung Can't Study.
So Nisio Aisin doing that show up there? Or that story?
Yeah, the Pretty Boy Detective Club.
Hmm. Might want to keep an eye out for that one.
Yep. So yeah. Let's see here. Sol Press has picked up Blend S manga. I Surrender My Sword, A New Life as a Mage novel. Is the Yoru Rabbit manga. Let This Grieving Soul Retire. Woe is the Weakling Who Leads the Strongest Party novel. And The Game Master Has Logged Into Another World novel. Yen Press has a 2-in-1 novelization of Children Who Chase Lost Voices and the 5 Centimeters Per Second. The King Death at the Dark Palace novel. I'm the Cat Lord's Manservant manga. Hard-boiled stories from the Cat Bar manga. Uncle from Another World manga. Your Turn to Die. And After School Hanako-kun's manga. And finally, If the RPG World Had Social Media novel and manga, which definitely does sound oddly very interesting to me, the idea of a social media in another world type story. But yeah. When a fantasy world has fully functional internet and smartphones, it ends like our current one. Joking. When a fantasy world has fully functioning internet and smartphones, for some reason, it's only natural for its 16-year-old. It's only natural for its 16-year-old hero to declare war on the Demon Lord via text messaging. But is direct it natural message, for the Demon Lord to be an innocent snowflake who hates conflict? Take a peek into the unfortunate hero's chat log with a unique group of RPG characters. Like an overly pure demon lord, her cheerful generals who all adore her, and the kidnapped princess who seems to be developing a major crush on her captor.
I like it. Totally on board.
Funny stuff. So this is totally going to be the hero right here, and he's going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to kill you, and this is the demon lord girl, and she's like, oh, why is he texting this to me? I don't want to be... Yeah, that sounds like fun.
He's bullying me.
Yeah, and the princess is going to get angry and start, like, slandering him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Just to protect the Demon Lord. Let's see here. Last thing we have is Seven Seas has licensed Himitsu Sentai Goringer manga. She professed herself pupil of the Wise Man manga and light novel. And I Swear I Won't Bother You Again light novel. And that's it. It's all the news, Chris. It's all of our news, and we have tons of time to do our community questions.
I've been meaning to, and I kept forgetting. There's a lot of the Bakemonogatari, a lot of the series is on Audible now, if you guys are even interested in the audiobooks. And I'm starting to see some other light novels popping up on there, too. So you guys may want to go and check that out.
Support them so they keep making them, definitely. But yeah, let's dive into our community to answer some great community questions from our community members. Definitely appreciate everybody who sent in the questions, either from our forum at talkingspirit.com at the forum's link at the top, and going to our AnimeCast questions thread, or sending it through our contact us button at the website, or just tweeting it to us, whatever way you want to get to us. We're going to answer them here. Like Havoc did. Havoc says, hi guys, I know you're really conscious of where you source your anime by making sure you always streaming through official services or buying manga, and Blu-rays. I find it commendable because I know some people, even from the AniTubers and hosts of other podcasts, couldn't care where it comes from and openly support pirating anime. During high school, when I was first getting into the medium, I was the same, where I would just I just wanted to see more and more, so I pirated a lot of the earlier shows I experienced. Now that I'm earning money and understand just how much work goes into making the series, I know why it's important to be patient and buy stream anime when they are available to you. Well, when it comes to Netflix, how do I know this is where this conversation is going? Well, when it comes to Netflix, I find it really frustrating just how long I have to wait for a show, especially being from Australia, where we have to wait even longer than Americans on some occasions. This is why I've now purchased a VPN subscription so I can change my IP address in a matter of moments so I can watch anime when they first drops in Japan. I've been wanting to do that. Because they always have subtitles. Because they have subtitles over there.
So my question,
have you ever considered getting VPN to bypass this? And I guess I just answered it. Bypass this. Or is there a reason why VPN services are bad and your reasons for not getting one? Thanks again, Havoc. Sorry, this is a one. This one is long. No, it's not really long. It's fine.
To me, the VPN thing, at best, I mean, pirating in general is, especially when it comes to the line of, well, it's not available in my region, therefore it's okay. Yeah, it's a gray area. I don't like gray areas per se. But when it comes to VPNs, I think that this is one of the lighter of the grays. It's still technically a gray area because you are going to another region to get something that technically you are not allowed to have. And so I would say it's the lighter of the grays, but that's just me.
Yeah, I almost believe that the idea of a VPN bypassing region restrictions is one of those things where the companies of the subscriptions models, like, say, for example, at Netflix here, Netflix probably would see something like this and be able to acknowledge, like, oh, there's somebody in Australia VPN into Japan so they can watch The Great Pretender. Yeah, we should stop that. He has a subscription, right? Yeah, we should stop that. Hmm? Man, how dare he? It's like one of those things where you're paying them anyways. It's just bypassing that region restriction. I mean, that's just like when people buy, you know, region-locked Blu-rays and they play them in a region-free Blu-ray player. It's almost one of those things where, like, no, stop. Please don't do that. You did buy that, right? Yeah, just stop. How dare you buy that from us? Now, granted, the license holder in a different region would be upset in a situation like that, but with something like Netflix, it's still going to the same location. It's just, if there was a branch of Netflix Australia, they would be upset about that, but there isn't. Netflix has branches elsewhere, but there is a global channel. Whereas something like, yeah, buying a Blu-ray from Japan, importing it and playing it, yeah, would be pretty miffy to Sentai Filmworks or somebody who is local that would buy the license so they can localize it. I don't see a problem really with VPNs in that regard, honestly, in my opinion. I think it is, you know, probably upsetting to things outside of Netflix where you do have a licensor locally that would want to get the money for that you're not going to end up giving to them. But it is essentially a workaround to a situation that really can't be helped. No, we don't at all, I guess, rag on you for pirating. I mean, we've mentioned several times before, back in the day when we didn't have access to things like Crunchyroll and stuff, we were doing the same thing. I do honestly think that there is the one area where I do not judge people at all is when it comes to regions where you just don't have availability at all. We are, you know, very fortunate that in the United States, at least, we pretty much get every show that's legally licensed and we can stream it and everything like that.
And
legally.
Not getting thrown off of the platform because it's too much.
Right. I mean, and that could change in the future. Say, you know, this whole move thing happening and I do run out of money, and which I don't see. I have a nest egg and everything. But say I do start tightening my money straps. Is that a word? Money straps? It's tightening my wallet. It could come to a thing like that. I do understand there's a thing with certain people, especially, you know, people going to college and not having money. And there's a lot of elements that kind of go into what you decide and what you do. And it always comes down to the person. And we're not, again, we've joked about it before. We're not your mother. We don't care. But no, we're not going to openly support the idea of piracy when you have it available to you. That's definitely something we don't necessarily support. And it's something that we go out of our way to order to support these companies and the companies that are supporting them through buying licenses, that we want to make sure that they keep doing that. Now, when Sony buys everything, will that change? We don't know.
Yeah, it really
that would be now that is the big uncertainty right now, I guess, to kind of bring this into another longer discussion is that, yeah, honestly, if it comes time when Sony buys everything and it does go that completely hyper negative side of it that we were talking about last time, where say Sony's like, yeah, now we're going to start, you know, censoring all this stuff coming in because we want to make it cleansed for the Western audience and everything.
And we're the only ones who you can come to get
it.
It's
going to change. That would definitely start possibly changing.
By the way, that's what I meant by gatekeeping. I don't know if the person, I think it was.
Yeah, we had several questions on this. I was surprised how interesting conversation we had on the forum. And it was, I don't necessarily mean that it was people misunderstood us for a lot of things, but like one thing that I kind of pointed out was the Singer Kagura thing. That's the thing that I fear the most, because if Sony just goes, we're going to censor a bunch of stuff, we're going to cut out scenes that are naughty so that we can stream it and not worry about offending anybody, that would bother me. More so because, not so much because of that, because then at that point right there, if you start cutting out half the show because you cut all the naughty parts out of it because you don't want it on your platform with that, I'm going to go straight to the original creator, and I'll support them directly any way that I can. But the fear that I have is that Singer Kagura effect, where eventually the actual directors of the stuff finally goes, well, we just can't do it anymore. We either stop or we just don't do it anymore. And that's when it starts changing the actual creator's intent. And that's what bothers me.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like there's two effects in Sony.
And that's capturing. The gatekeep effect that that I was really going with.
Yeah, there's two effects. The monopoly aspect, which is what we were kind of talking about. I've captured all of it. Now I can just slowly increase my prices and then there's nothing you can do about it. And then the other effect is what we were talking about was I have all the keys. You will consume my product the way I want you to consume my product, which is i.e. censoring or changing lines or whatever the heck they deem necessary. They have the keys and you have no way of going. And this is kind of the flip side to the argument, which I get frustrated with, like Crunchyroll badgering customers by saying, look, you guys should be paying attention to us. We agree. But at the same time, getting mad at people because you are serving a product that they don't like and getting mad at them for not coming to you, what did you expect to happen? It's a double-edged sword when you do that. Just offer a better product and naturally people will come to you. Don't get mad at people for not doing it. If you want to go and sue company X, whatever, for providing a pirated copy of your stuff, fine, do that. That's business. But there's another aspect of punishing your customers. That's different. That's very, very different.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting world. Again, it's not 100%. It was, like I said, just one reporter. Could not happen. It possibly couldn't happen. So we'll see, though. But no, I have considered the idea of doing a VPN just for Netflix alone, just to watch this stuff on there. And like I said, a lot of them have been reported to have like Violet Evergarden had subtitles like from the day that they were debuting the episode. So yeah, maybe I'll do it to watch Beastars. But yeah, thanks for the question, Havoc. Appreciate you. And all the kind words as well. I do like the fact that people do acknowledge us for what we kind of go out of our way to do. It's not that we judge other people because they openly admit that they support it. It's just more of a fact that that's just something we like to kind of support. So
it is one of those things that it really does come down to. We've just seen this industry come so far, and to see it go backwards is frustrating to us. It's not necessarily like Andrew was saying, we're not your mother. If you go and pirate it, whatever. But we lean towards you should do it the right way, the legit way, because it undermines what we've been working hard for. I was one of the ones who literally was watching Crunchyroll before it became legit. I watched one of my favorite shows on that show, that's being Skip Beat. I remember watching it on its their new technology of 264 or something like that. So I've been with Crunchyroll a very long time, and I've seen the industry shift from torrenting to like when Andrew was back in the days when we were watching the little tapes and everything like that. I've seen so much that has changed in this industry, and I don't like to see it go backwards because somebody thinks that, well, they're both there. Why would I go with the one that I have to pay money to? Well, because it's important that we support the industry we love. And the same people who will whine and complain about the artists not getting any money. And yes, I do understand the arguments that they're not getting the money anyway. I understand that's bad business, but that does not go around the fact that we're supposed to. If we're going to support it, we need to support it.
I will add that if we are actually your mother, that would be a really interesting Jerry Springer episode.
Yes.
You are the mother. Anyway, sorry, that just popped in my head. I had to get it out. It was sitting there. It was stewing in my head as Chris was talking, and I was just waiting for Chris to stop talking so I can make my Jerry Springer joke.
And my eyes are glazing over while I'm trying to remember this joke that I had.
No, I just kept saying Jerry, Jerry, Jerry in my head the entire time you were talking. So if
you had an
I
was entire really, thing going on in
I
your
was
head,
really you? Afraid you were going to ask me a question after all that, and I was going to go, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. Anyways, Matthew writes in and says, I'm a super fan of the irresponsible Captain Taylor, and I think everyone needs to experience it. I look forward to an eventual review of it. Keep up the good work, Matthew. Are you actually Sean Kleckner? You have Sean Kleckner. Is that really you, Sean Kleckner? Matthew. The most random Matthew from gmail.com just chiming in to say that he likes Captain Taylor. Is it Taylor or Tyler? I thought it was Taylor. Captain I'm going to feel real bad if it was Captain Tyler all along. Captain Tyler. If you are the biggest fan of Captain Tyler and not Taylor, it is Tyler. Yeah, I feel bad now. Yeah, Sean Kleckner. I'm going back to Sean Kleckner, and I'm gonna pivot the attention to the fact that John Kleckner has emailed us about irresponsible Captain Tyler. No, it is really cool that they have been doing a lot of stretch goals and stuff to do this like ultimate collection of Captain Tyler. And I'm super excited about all that stuff, which essentially means that probably eventually we're going to get a review copy from Right Stuff. And we will probably, at that point be doing a review for Irresponsible Captain Tyler. So, we'll see. Well, it depends on if I doubt they're going to send us an ultimate copy of it. So it depends on if they do another release of the standard edition of it. I don't know. We'll see. We've gotten special editions from them before. Which those particular ones we have noted in the reviews for them that we did get those specifically so that you fully well know that we get what we get. So, but yeah, I've been wanting to watch it for a long time, mainly because Sean Kleckner won't shut up about it. So
I've heard lots of good stuff about that story. So
yeah. So Probably eventually. We'll see. If the release, this new release comes and goes and we don't see anything from them for it, it'll probably be one that we'll just have to put on a docket somewhere to eventually go watch it. So, but it is one that we wouldn't want to watch. So, I'm glad you enjoy it, Matthew. Wink, wink, Gleckner. Thanks, Matthew, for sending this, though. Thank you for the question. Let's see here. Next one we have is from Ukisog. Says, four questions. Man, long one. Have there been any weird anime which you watched and liked it a lot, but now you wouldn't even think about watching? I'm not talking about situations like you were young and liked edgy animes, but now not so much.
I'm the opposite.
What?
That I'm older now and I don't like ecchi. That's not true.
Oh, well, your would be probably.
I'm weird. I'm weird like that. I know.
Well, to answer the question for you, they would probably violent stuff. There's violent shit. Yeah. Higurashi when they cry, you probably would not watch again, right?
Right, but it's. It would have to be. I mean, I guess that's. It sounds like you wouldn't be caught dead watching. So I guess the wording is odd. So yeah, I guess you're right. I know it's more I'm tired of violence and stuff. I really am, and that's all it is. It's not anything against Higurashi, stuff like that. Like, I would think of. Grave of Fireflies. I love that movie, but I won't watch it because and we've mentioned that before. It's just I want to say destructive show. It's not a destructive. It's such a hard story. It's just really, really brutal.
There was a show that I watched recently. I cannot remember what it was that was. Because there's several shows that I can think of, that I can't think of, but I know that we've watched a lot of shows where it was a great story, but it was so emotional. Like, I mean, for example, Grave of the Fireflies is a really easy one to pop out the top of my head. It's one of those stories that you know is absolutely, you know, a masterpiece, and you loved it, but it's not like you really want to go through that again. Like, it is a very heavy experience that you don't really, like, go strolling back, like, oh, yeah, I want to do this again. I mean, it's similar to, you know, cases like the original Last of Us. I mean, going through that was, like, really cool experience, but it's, like, a very emotional one that you're not really clamoring to go experience again because it was so emotional in the end. So, it's hard to really remember a lot of them, but there's a lot of cases where it just the emotional impact of it was a fantastic story, but it's not like you're always clamoring to go through that again. I mean, like Made in Abyss was a great series, but yeah, pretty kind of rough to get through in the end. It was not that it was a bad storytelling rough. It was a good storytelling rough, but it was rough to go through in the end. So ReZero is another one. It's like, I'm not clamoring to go through all those emotional gruesome scenes again where my characters got brutally ruined, but at the same time, when I was going through it the first time, it was like that was something I was just, you know, my eyes were glued to the screen. So, it says, now why I'm asking, in this situation, it was Sunday Without a God. I love the anime a lot, even after 5 to 6 years passed after I watched it. I still remember it, where most animes, my memory of it doesn't last 1 to 2 years. But I will never watch it again, and I don't know why. Maybe it's it left some sort of impact on me. It's so funny because Sunday Without God is one of those shows where I, by the way, love the theme music in it. And I love the storytelling for the first few episodes. For some reason later on, something about it just frustrated me and I stopped watching, and I've always wanted to go back and watch. I even bought the dang Blu-ray because I was going to try to force myself to watch it by buying the Blu-ray. But like the first town they go to was such a cool story. The whole idea of the grave digger was just really cool. Just it's something I never did go back and actually finish it off. And I've always wanted to. That was another one where like after that first, not the first arc, but the first opening arc, but the second arc, that whole city that she went to, that was a story that was pretty dang emotional. I was really kind of sucked into that storytelling. So I don't know. And there's nothing inherently genre-wise or anything like that that has actually changed to the negative for me. Like, Chris has the whole thing with the violent stuff, where I've never really had anything like that. If anything, I've only kind of grown to accept things more than I used to. Like, I used to not really care much for the etchy comedy type stuff. I was always like, okay, here's this again. So I don't really have anything that I wouldn't really want to go back to. But like I said, there is the aspect of things that are really kind of emotionally heavy that doesn't really make you want to jump back and rewatch it again. So that's about all I can really relate to in there, I guess. Next one from Mookstock says, how do you approach anime which had prequels a few years ago? Do you skim through it and await the new season? Do you rewatch it or just simply go and say, I will remember it while I'm watching it? Every one of those.
That's kind of
one of those.
It's kind of what I ended up doing with the Irregular at Magic High. It's like, I wanted to rewatch it. I really did. But when the first episode popped up, is like, well, looks like I'm jumping on it straight in.
Well, it's funny because, like I said, jokingly, but it's true, everything of the above. I mean, there's some shows where we'll go into it, and I kind of think, man, I don't know if we should turn this on, because we probably should go back and watch the old season again. And sometimes, like with regular Magic High, technically I watched it like literally, what, a month and a half ago, or maybe a month ago. So it didn't affect me too much. But yeah, there's other cases where it just like, yeah, I kind of remember the gist of everything. It's not that deep of a story, so I know I can just jump right into it. But there's some of them where, like, I going back into Golden Cameo, it's like, I don't know, I probably should go rewatch the other one, because I honestly don't remember much of this. I want to go back and rewatch Higurashi, because I really want to kind of get a 100% idea of what has possibly, quote-unquote, changed. Again, I don't recommend watching the new Higurashi without watching the old one, just because of what we experienced in the season already. So, I don't know, it varies a lot, and I know it does kind of suck when you do have a show that has been taking a long time to get a sequel. And, I mean, even with Made in Abyss only being about 2 years out, with watching that movie, it was kind of, I almost felt like I did want to kind of go back and really kind of fully refresh my mind on what was going on at that particular point in the story. So it's a mixed bag. And I think with every single one of them, we always have this feeling of kind of figuring out, well, maybe, do you think we should watch it? No, I don't think we need to watch it. It's not that long ago. Or no, there's not really too much to go in the story. It's fine to just jump into it. It's really case by case. I think my only difficulty is when you have shows that have prequels that we have not watched. And then we kind of keep telling ourselves we got to go watch the prequel before the season comes up. And we never do. Railgun was a recent example of that. Never did go back and watch the original Railgun, so can't jump right in that one. Yeah. Next one question he has is, was there a anime which you started disliking because someone screwed up the last episode?
Yes.
An anime in which you started liking, or started disliking. Okay, I was getting more interesting if he started liking because the last episode was screwed up.
I don't think you have to explain it. It's just yes.
Chris says I'll know a zero the first season. I'm trying to think of something. I mean, yeah, I'll know a zero is very controversial. I was okay with it, but a lot of people were really angry about it. Shoot, the last episode of Gangsta. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I remember that.
The
oh my gosh, last episode of Gangsta. What the hell did they do there?
The more complicated and nuanced answer is not really, mostly because if you can separate the story from an obvious just frustrating ending. Because that's a lot of it. Is the easy answer is yes. Because my automatic thinking was one of my, the guy whose artwork I really like, Uasu, they did a show with a girl that had, it was just such an impressive, PV, and we were thinking it was kind of like Witch Hunter Robin was, and we were getting super high
Wizard Barristers.
And as it started in, I mean,
well, that was an animation issue too. So
yeah, and that was, a lot of it was very heavily on that last episode. They just shot it to crap, and yes, they cleaned it up later. I'm still okay with it. I thought it was fine. But it wasn't as much hype. So it's frustrating on the lines of, was it the hype that got me into it, or was it,
yeah, a great first episode.
Yeah. I mean,
that's really all it was. It had a great first episode.
There was a lot of things about that show that I liked, and it is really frustrating when that last episode, it was unwatchable. It literally was. Do I hate it because of that last episode? No, I don't.
A guy pointing a gun at the air and gunfire sounds going off and them all standing there staring at the guy with the gun up in the air and everybody dying suddenly. That shouldn't be upsetting to anybody. No, I agree with the idea that it technically is one of those arguments of... it's like the argument of it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And the flip argument of it's not about the journey, it's about the destination. In this particular case, yeah, technically with all these shows that have some kind of butchered last episode that either kills off a main character that you really like or has some goofy deus ex machina ending that is so, you know, over the top that you're just rolling your eyes at it, it never technically ruins the fact that you had an enjoyable experience going all the way up to that ending, but there is an aspect of, does it, you know, knock it down so many pegs that you went from a show that you thought was a perfect show to literally being a show that you would say, yeah, it's like a 6 because of that ending. I can kind of see that argument with it, because you do, in the end, when you look back on it, you do see it as a total value, and you do technically offset a lot of the good with the negative that you just can't unsee. So disliking is a very strong word for a last episode. I don't think I've ever had a case where I've gotten to the point where I dislike the show just because of the last episode. It would have to probably go out of its way to offend me personally if I would to possibly even say that it made me dislike it.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best answer, is it would almost have to literally undermine everything that the show had given you. I mean, that's the best way to describe it, because
a good example, Decadence. Just let's just act like Decadence wasn't a full series. Let's say that Decadence was a 2-episode show, first episode and a second episode. That would be a case where I can make an argument that the first episode is completely ruined by the second episode, because the second episode essentially makes you, it essentially turns around and says, that first episode, it's actually not all that. It's actually this. And it kind of makes you believe that the world itself is pointless. And thus it makes you feel like the reason for watching the first episode felt pointless. Now, technically the show as a whole makes something out of it, but it was one of those cases where that second episode makes you believe that the first was useless.
Yeah, that's effectively you're hitting it right on the head. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It literally is. I pitch a fit about character logic when a character does not make sense. If I literally if I can follow a character's logic to a certain point and then they do something that just is off the wall and it makes no sense. Now
he got mad at Beyond the Boundary for that. I loved it. He hated the fire out of it, and which technically did that.
And it's one of those things that kind of stuff is what really frustrates me, and that's the kind of stuff that will cause me to dislike it, where it literally is undermining something that, and usually it's characters that do that for me, is because I like to follow logical processes that a character makes sense. And yes, I do understand that emotions do throw things off, and that's where my relatability comes in with that. And yes, I probably enjoy shows in a different way than everybody else. I get that. But that's what makes sense to me, is I want to be able to understand the character. I want to feel what the character's feeling. And so that's how I get involved in a show. That's why, when I'm watching it, I love a good story, but I'm more interested in what the characters are feeling and what they're experiencing.
I got it. I actually have a legit, no joke example of this. Pekuro Sakurasou. No joke. I have disliked that show since the day I watched the last episode of that. I think it was the last episode where the choice was made, the quote-unquote choice.
I'm pretty sure that would be a good example.
And that made me hate it to death. I can make an argument that there's a lot of shows that have that kind of Sakurasou kind of ending to it that I do technically apply to a lot of shows, and I usually jokingly do that, but it never necessarily means that I don't like the show, that it becomes again, disliking, which is we're so focused on that word disliking, but you said specifically disliking. Technically Sakurasou was the only one where it made me dislike that show. Now, if I rewatch the show, I will probably remember the fact that, you know, I did laugh at this scene. I did like this interaction between these two characters for a majority of the show before they did the whole Sakurasou-ing thing at the end. But that is the only real true no joke example I have of that. Even though I could technically probably, if I took some time to really think about it, there's probably a lot of shows where it had that, you know, there was the one girl that would have been perfect for the, Just Because I think kind of did that as well, where they did have this focus on a girl, and I was like, that's actually a really good pairing they just did there. And then they do the whole, oh, never mind this character. And then I get really angry about it.
there is one show that I would...
The bait and switch... shipping the writer does, it really is what it is.
I could technically border on the edge, and I've always said this. I've always had this real big frustration, and that is Golden Time. I love that show. So,
oh my gosh,
I absolutely love that show. And to this day, if anybody was to ask me, I would say I could go either way on that show. And if I think about it too much, I hate it. And that is one of those shows that it's like, it's right there on the edge of...
Stupid ending.
It was. It was one of those things that's like, if I think about it too much, I'll hate this show. But as it stands right now, I'm happy with it. I like it. I think they did wonderful. But don't make me think about it too much.
I think what frustrates me about Golden Time is it's like... A lot of people didn't like what they did with the kind of the mental state of the character. I actually like that. I like that kind of experimental storytelling of the psyche of somebody going through something technically mental. It frustrated me how like supportive they were being with one of the characters. And I was like, I really love this character so much. And then the last episode happens and I'm like, oh, for Pete's sake. Just stop, people. Oh, why does it have to be the... Anyways, sorry. We're probably revealing too much things about things, even though we're trying to be a little bit vague. But you technically ask a question that does kind of push that stuff. So it... Yeah. Anyways, Okisar also has just the simple side question... have you guys ever considered why you still watch anime? Because a few of my friends who used to watch anime a lot, like me, stopped completely. When I tried to contemplate it, I can't think of anything. Of course, it might be because some might say it's childish. In parentheses, give your kids Elfin Lied, go watch Higurashi. Higurashi wall knife lolly equals bad news. Yeah.
Why did you have to bring that up?
Yeah.
Want to know why I'm not watching Higurashi?
Why do you consider that you still watch anime? It's storytelling that, and it's so funny because when you originally got into anime, I think a lot of it was kind of the, I'm a young kid and I'm watching violence and nudity and stuff and cartoons. This is so edgy. I was into it because of that. But it quickly turned into, holy crap, these are really cool stories. And whenever I would go home and I'd see cartoons on TV, it was like Bugs Bunny blowing up the thing again. And then I'd go back to my friend's house and he would have Akira and we're watching this freaking awesome futuristic world and it's all gritty and violence and crazy storytelling. And then I go back to watching my shows on my regular TV and it's just this really basic stuff. It was these worlds and the expanded and the adult storytelling that it had and the art. And then it grew into later about the artistry and the deep worlds and the unique storytelling that I could only get when I watched anime. Because whenever I would try to see this stuff on American television and movies, I couldn't find it. And then I'd go back to watching anime and I'd find them again. And it was just stuff that I wasn't seeing anywhere else was in anime. And that just grew and grew from that point. But it has always been this kind of unique perspective of storytelling that I haven't really found anywhere else and never really kind of appreciate anywhere else. So, yeah, I technically not sure that I'd watch as much as I do if we weren't doing the podcast. I think we've admitted that enough. But it is something I always enjoyed. And it's not always there. And you might be searching for that show if you're not, you know, just asking people to give you a list that they think is great, but searching for them yourself and seeing the new titles. But whenever you do find those nuggets of things like Shogun Roku, Raku Shinju, or Made in Abyss, or any of these other titles that you just wrap yourself into these worlds, it's always fulfilling in the end.
When it comes down to it for me, I mean, I think that a lot of it is just anime fatigue. I mean, after a certain point, we've talked about the estimated that everybody has a, what is it, 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, 3 year.
For to be in this anime fandom. So it and I can see that. I really can. I mean, after a certain point, you just move on with life, and that is it is frustrating, especially when it's us that are looking around and going, okay, I see a lot of new fresh faces. I don't see a lot of my old friends anymore. But it comes with the territory. So just take that into consideration. Just keep at it. You'll find some new friends that are into this. And just think, you're the vet now.
Yeah, you're the one that's give the list of titles.
Yeah, you're the one that's giving out the lists. It is funny because on the thing of how did I get to this point? It's like I can think back on the shows that I watched when I was in the Army, and it's like, did any of those actually get me in? I don't know. When it comes down to it, we've talked about our experience with anime, and yes, I was watching Voltron when I was a kid. But we've talked about whether or not we considered those animes or not, and it's like, I don't know. I did like the artwork aesthetic, but I didn't understand that I liked the artwork aesthetic. And that's one of those real weird things of, I think that when I first watched Dragon Ball for the first time, it was like, this is cool, but I didn't know it was the artwork that was my attraction to it until way later. And that's the funny thing about when you stop and think back on your experience of it is, what is it that holds me here? I love to say the stories. I love to say the characters. I love to say the artwork. It's everything. It's whatever anime is to you. That's what's drawing you in. That's what's locking you here. So just be you.
Yeah, it's funny because I downplay my younger self and the idea of like, was I into the artistry of Akira? Was I into the artistry of Evangelion or anything like that? But then I think back and remember, I specifically remember having goosebumps the first moment that
he's in the middle of the street and they have the riots going on, and then he screams and his voice echoes through the entire neighborhood and the windows shatter. I totally vividly remember when I first seen that scene and my friend had it on his television. He had the volume turned all the way up and it sounded so amazing and it looked amazing. I had goosebumps seeing that scene. And it, so I was really captivated by, this is what animation could do. And granted, you know, Disney and stuff were doing things, but it was always so, you know, cutesy and fluffy and fun and family friendly and everything like that. Whereas this was doing something different. And yeah, Evangelion doing the same thing. It was so like, this is what animation could do. These storytelling that this is doing is insane. And it's something that's always kind of grabbed me throughout the years. Yeah, it, going back to, you know, good question about people walking away. I agree. I think a lot of this stuff, you just have things that you get into and there's other things that kind of come in and you want to kind of explore the things. And then your time is always so limited that, you know, most people kind of just walk away from certain things when they just have other things they want to do, or this time is being constrained, having family to take care of, work, other hobbies coming up, things you want to do with other people. And eventually you just kind of start weeding out other things. I mean, there's been so many times where I go in and out of video games. Right now I'm kind of semi out of it. And even though I do play a lot of Genshin, a lot of the other games I've been wanting to play, I get put to the side again. It's always about the limitations of time you have. And sometimes certain things get weeded out. And yeah, I do kind of see a thing about fatigue. I don't necessarily think it's really fatigue, but maybe just not finding enough of new things that could cause that fatigue. If you keep finding things that seem similar, but you're not really looking well enough to find that new title.
He's talking about why his friends fell away.
Right.
So not necessarily.
Answering.
Oh, I thought it sounded like you were talking about why he was getting fatigued. He's not fatigued.
No, I was answering it the same way you were.
Oh.
Reasons why they could be. But anyways. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Ugisaga also says, by the way, I prefer Andrew's taste in anime. Sorry, Chris, I had to say it. Well, I'm glad that you said that too. I don't know why you brought that up again, but I'm always happy when people say that they like my taste better.
That's not what he said. I have somebody on my side, finally. Everybody else goes to Andrew's side.
So you don't like violent shows, Ugisaga? I didn't know that. It's about the only thing that's different between the two of us, that he doesn't like violent shows. P.S. I don't remember in which podcast you talked about anime you dislike and said Pupa. Weird thing is, I liked that anime at the time. I was eagerly awaiting new episodes. Don't know about that now. That was another one that Chris did not like. So apparently you guys' taste does not match.
I really, really want to talk to Ukisaga on like DMs or on text message. I really, really want to talk about this.
Pupa? Like, is this like a deep conversation about Pupa? Do we need like an episode?
I do want
interview
to,
about Pupa.
Well, finally we've been talking about, I want to know somebody who likes this show, and finally we've got somebody who's admitting to liking the show. I want to know what's awesome about it. I really think that there's probably something that I was missing about it, and it might be something as far as the manga was concerned as opposed to the show, and maybe that's where I need to go. I've said it before, Pupa deserves to exist, and he is the reason why it deserves to exist, so I want to know why.
I just thought it was a fetish thing. I think I dropped Pupa really quickly, but I don't necessarily think that it was, looking back on it now, a terrible show. It's just kind of one of those things of, I do personally kind of, again, my limited remembering of this show that I maybe watched like maybe 1.5 episodes of, what, 10 or so years ago, I thought it was a fetish show. Like, this is this fetish of a sister eating the brother. And her saying brother over 2 seconds. I just thought that that's what it was. Not that it's a bad thing. It's just I thought that was kind of one of those weird things of like, oh, that's kind of weird and interesting.
It is a weird show. I mean, surface level, you could say it is. And there is a lot of shows that are like that if you go from the surface level.
But it's also one of those things where do you want to go to the top? Is it going too far to go, well, it could also be about self-sacrifice and the desire to protect his sister? I mean, yeah. Which direction do you think the writer's really going for? Was the writer honestly going for fetishism? Or was the writer really going for, here's a guy that's self-sacrificing himself to protect his sister and keep his sister away from harming others?
And that's the weird... That's,
which direction do you want to go?
And that's the thing
they could all... They'll be true, technically.
It is. And that's the weird thing about it is, like I said, it deserves to exist for somebody who wants to... Who likes that story. And there is a story there, but it was so jumbled up in the... It almost seemed like it was trying to go for symbolism. The symbolism was very vague, and it was so hidden. And it, like Andrew was saying, there's the undertones of self-sacrifice and all that stuff. And then there's the blatant, in-your-face fetishism. And it's like, what were you going for? So, yeah, I've always wanted to have somebody that I could talk to about it and finally understand it, hopefully.
Well, two things now. I'm curious if Oogie Saga, if your reason for enjoyment was one of those two sides in either way. Again, I don't care really. like I said, both sides technically are fine.
He's not going to admit to the fetishism side.
No, so. I honestly think that if you're fine with that, you're going to be open. You know that we are okay about talking about the stupidest stuff. Like literally the last discussion of podcast, the first impressions, I literally talked about a show that was about the guy bowing for a girl to show her pants to. I mean, we're all friends here. But no, I'm curious if it's one of those sides or the other, or if it's something else that maybe Chris missed, which again, I only watched about an episode and a half, so I don't remember exactly how much I've even watched of it. Or is there something else that was in there? But my second question is, can you even watch that show now? Would you be able to stomach it? Would you be able to stomach this now?
Oh, definitely not.
A show about a girl literally chewing into his shoulder and neck, and it was always like his arm or something like that.
She ate far more than later.
She ate a lot of him.
Never mind.
I remember more of this.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
There was that other part of him that there was.
No.
Didn't they insinuate she ate down there?
I think she ate a leg, but I'm not sure. It's been a long time.
I don't know if it was implied or Chris got an impression that happened. I don't remember exactly what happened. What?
No, he's saying that he doesn't know about now, so that implies that he probably wouldn't.
No, like I was joking about you. Would you be able to stomach watching?
No, I don't think I could watch it again. But those are short episodes, so maybe.
Find me a download of it because we couldn't find anywhere?
I don't remember.
Because we were going to go back and rewatch it. I'll have to look. I think I have a download of it somewhere because we were actually going to go back and rewatch it. Because it's available nowhere. Anyways, that was fun. Thanks, Oogie Saga, for the questions, even though you went out of your way to act like you don't match my taste, but you know you love my taste. But that's all the time we have for the moment. Again, I'm not sure. We might end up doing a mailbag question, because like I said, my biggest fear is if we do technically have a decent gap between the time that we can get back together to start reading stuff, I don't want to have this stuff take too long to get to. We do have some questions. I guess we're getting pretty close to catching up with our old questions. I think the oldest one we have is August 20th, and the rest are in November, so I guess we're not that far behind, but we might see if we can get some time to do some more questions, maybe in a mailbag or something. We'll see, though. But we hope you guys enjoyed this episode, the Discussional Podcast episode. We always enjoy doing these, and we thank everybody for their support, as usual. And, again, we'll have another, you know, actual recorded episode next week for sure. But after that, like I said, we're just going to have to play it by ear as we go along. And, again, like I said, I'll try to keep people posted and updated on our Twitter account at least. And, yeah, hope you guys enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Oos.
欲しいものは掴む